Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with a weekly look at the world of non-league football. A slightly shorter show for you this week for a couple of reasons, but all will return to normal next week. It is the FA VAR's first round this weekend. 210 clubs pitting their wits from steps 5 and 6. This week we talk to, of course, Phil Annetts, this time with his at FA VARS FACFAR hat on, and we find out where he is heading over a weekend of games in the FA VARS first round. We also speak to the manager at Hillingdon Borough, Anthony Obeng-Manu. He's a young side are taking part in the FA VARS and made the first round proper in the first time in many years. Memories of the club's former great FA VARS run now a distant memory he hopes to revive. Rounding off the show, non-league paper senior writer David Richardson on the FA Cup first round chosen TV games, more managerial changes and the weekend's National League fixtures. Much to come. Sit back, relax and let's get matters underway. So this week is FA VAR's first round proper. I believe 105 ties, 210 clubs taking part and hoping to take their next step towards the Wembley final. But one man who will know, and he knows something about each and every one of those ties and hopes to enlighten us, is show stalwart now at FA VAR's Fact File, Mr. Phil Annetts. So let's welcome him back to the Non-League Football Show. Well, welcome, Phil.
Thank you, Tim. Always a pleasure to be back. Well, yes, 210 clubs. That's a lot of ties to have to cover this weekend.
Yeah, I was. You know, I think when we spoke last week, I was jesting that you had less to do because of that fourth qualifying round. There's very few in there. But when you get to the FA VARS, I mean, that's quite a step up. Quite a number of clubs. Quite a number of clubs. Even some of them. You know, I'll confess, I'm not too sure that I know too much about some of these sides. Even ones local to my sort of a usual stomping ground in the London area. There's some names that I'd love to know some of the history on them. Let's start. It's exciting for every club involved, but in a week where we're gonna. Elsewhere, we're discussing FA Cup prize money and the TV bank boosters that the clubs get from that. I can't help but think that the £825 available for the winners of this round and the £250 for the losers, I mean, that probably wouldn't even cover the cost of the coach for either the away side and certainly not the hosting cost for the home side. I don't want to start on a downer, but, I mean, this is the illustrious competition that everybody loves to showcase come non-league finals day. It deserves a bit more than the clubs taking part having to subsidise it, doesn't it?
Well, I would say so, yes. It's a very difficult one, isn't it? Because obviously prize money is reflective of the investment in the competition, and the investment, level of investment is a reflection of what they see as the overall appeal of the competition. So I think one of the plus sides is you get a lot of clubs taking part in the FA VARS, but I guess the consequence of that is that the downside is the amount available prize money per club is reduced. And so, yes, it is paltry in comparison to what is received in the FA Cup and other competitions. But you know, it does get bigger as it goes on, and anyone who's successful will actually, you know, will get quite a sizable amount from their efforts.
Yeah, and on a positive note, yeah, despite those many promotions to step four over the summer with the reorganisation and you know, this competition now being for those below that level, there's still some great FA VARS pedigrees left in this competition. on my account, I think there's five previous winners taking part this weekend.
Yeah, you're right. There are five previous winners. Stansted, I think we've got North Shields, Rugby Town, Deal Town, and the club that won the first ever FA Vars back in 1975, Hoddesdon Town. Right, so, yes, some teams with good FA Vars pedigree there.
And immediately I'm thinking, who else is called Town? Maybe they could, they've got a chance. Have we done that sort of statistic, Phil? Is Town the biggest opportunity you're likely to have of getting in that FA Vars final and winning it?
Well, I think there are more clubs with the Town suffix than any other suffix. That's definitely true in the FA Cup, and I suspect it's true throughout the football pyramid. It is a very common suffix, and I guess by its nature, therefore, you should have more chance of there being a town-based club in the actual final itself.
But then, we have other clubs like Newton Aycliffe, looking at some of those other suffixes. Whitchurch Airport always a sort of stands out for me. Yeah, Wolverhampton Casuals, maybe there's history to be made this year. One time that just stand out for me was again probably because of my local knowledge, number 64 former runners-up Southall. I mean, when they were losing finalists in 86, we had the former Wealdstone, well, they went on to become Wealdstone boss Gordon Bartlett at the helm, had a tremendous strike partnership there of Sir Led Ferdinand and my late friend Paul Swales, and they're taking on former quarter finalists Erith and Belvedere. Now, clubs with great history, Southend, I think, in their 150th year this year, looking to reinvigorate great times. And that's where the Vars is so magic, because it offers that opportunity to get on a big stage again, but also bring some magic in and around the club.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of clubs there with long history, as you said there. Southall, with 150 years, they're celebrating that anniversary. And there's many others in the competition who have been involved in the Vars almost since it began. And Southall, Erith and Belvedere is one of two games that are kicking the whole competition off on Friday night alongside Newark taking on Deeping Rangers. So we've got a whole weekend actually of FA Vars games kicking off with those two games.
Yeah, and I quite like that again, because in recent weeks we've been talking about the FA Cup and they try and squeeze everything onto that Saturday if they can. And I quite like that we're celebrating the competition and almost giving these clubs a little bit of extra space to enjoy themselves. And, we've got, as you say, games on Friday and on Sunday. What about you, yourself, Phil? Are you going to take in any of these games over this long weekend of FA Vars football?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to take one in on Saturday. I'm heading towards my local club, actually, Wallingford Town, who take on Ascot United from a higher level in the pyramid. And they've already knocked out two higher level clubs in the competition this year and in the first round for the first time in 11 years. So it's really exciting times for the club getting this far in the FA Vars. They had a fantastic win in the second qualifying round where they were 4-2 down at Bishop's Cleeve at the 90th minute and still managed to go through on penalties. So they're riding on the crest of a wave. I think they've not been beaten yet in league football. So it's good times for Wallingford Town. And I look forward to the game against Ascot United on Saturday.
Yeah, and Ascot United, I remember covering them on this very show and they had a very good Vars run probably a few seasons ago now. You mentioned there, clubs... For many of them, this is the third round of this competition, after the first and second qualifying rounds to get here. But there's 28 clubs coming in this round as well that have been exempt to this first round proper. And it's all based on last season's, how they performed. And I think they got to the third round proper last term, these 28 clubs, but weren't one of those clubs that have moved up into the FA Trophy this season.
Yeah, so if they get as far as the third, I think third and fourth round, then they are exempted to the first round, and then those that have gone beyond the fourth round are exempted to the second round. So it stands you in good stead if you can have a good run in the Vars, because it puts you in a position to have another good run if you obviously haven't been one of those clubs fortunate enough to have been promoted into the FA Trophy. It's quite a strange competition in the sense that there's no real seeding going on apart from how things have happened in the previous season. So it is open to all teams to have as much chance as any other to get through to the final.
And as you mentioned, yeah, we've got these 210 clubs taking part in this round of the competition, plus the clubs that have already exited it out in those earlier qualifying rounds. But I think it's 23 more clubs to come in the next round too. We all had those very good Vars runs last term. It shows the sheer size of this competition.
Yeah, there's hundreds and hundreds of clubs, isn't there? In step five and step six, I think it was 627 took part this year. The FA have decided that they won't open it up to clubs in step seven, which I think is a shame, because I think there's a lot of clubs there who have the facilities and have the desire to be involved in a competition. And it used to be, you know, set up for those kind of clubs, and it's a shame if they now just restricting it to step five and six, even though there is still hundreds and hundreds of clubs who can take part.
And we love your stats and your facts, and what are those that stand out for you this round?
Well, there's a couple. There's a one on a personal player level. It's a guy called Les Sackey, who's playing for Berks County, one of the I think nine clubs still standing who are participating in the FA Vars for the first time, and he has actually scored a hat-trick in both rounds so far, so he could be going for three match balls by the end of Saturday evening. So that's one to look out for. There's a couple of clubs who have made it to the first round for the first time in quite some time. You've got to remember that the competition is only about 47 years old, and we've got Heath and Stannington, who have made it to the first round for the first time in 40 years, and Carlisle City, who've made it this far for the first time in 42 years. So both of those are a level in the competition they haven't been in for some time, although they haven't played in the competition every year. But it's still, you know, it's nice to see them back.
Yeah, and Carlisle City is one of those that always stood out for me when I've been looking through these fixtures. I think of all our followers overseas, maybe not even expats, maybe they're from a foreign land, and they look at the FA Vars, and it's, if you're from another country and you don't have the same wonderful pyramid system that we have here, and you look at the FA Vars and you think Carlisle City, they're surely the highest club in Carlisle, and then knowing that Carlisle United are actually in the football league, it's the vagaries of non-league football and English football that just you couldn't write it if you were writing a script. Now I know, lots of people higher up in the echelons would like to probably tidy it up, so it was a bit more scripted like that. But this is why we love the FA Vars, because anybody coming into it and looking at it for the first time must be excited by what they see, because it's just different.
Yeah, there's lots of club names that they won't have come across. Some that are associated, as you said, with cities or towns that have got bigger clubs. Like we've got South Liverpool back in the competition. That's a name from old, but obviously there's bigger clubs in that city than them. And then we've got clubs like British Airways, who obviously aren't affiliated to an area, but affiliated to an organisation, who are taking part in the Vars. So you've got that great mixture of towns and cities with second, third or fourth level clubs. And then you've got the weird and wonderful entities that are such like British Airways, etc.
Yeah, and Kimberley Miners Welfare as well. I wonder what the Kimberley Miners did before the welfare was there, and were they playing football and then the welfare came along and took over the former football club? I don't know. There's so many. I'm like you. I love a little bit of history, a local history, words, and it's just that I could probably just sit down with an FA Vars fixture list and be happy on a desert island for many, many years.
Yeah, we just think if you had an FA Vars history book as well, you'd all the names that have been used by clubs in the competition's almost 47, 48-year history. So, yes, some fantastic clubs there.
I almost heard a light bulb going on there, Phil. But before you go, just remind everybody where they can follow you, find out about current and future FA Vars, FAC Vars, and also all your good work with the FA Cup as well.
Well, yes, I run a FA Vars Fact File on Twitter, at FA Vars Fact File. It's quite handy to remember. And the previews for the rounds and the reviews of the rounds are put on my WordPress site for facupfactfile.com. And obviously, I am running FA Cup Fact File as well, and that is on Twitter too.
Good stuff, Phil. Well, we'll let you prepare yourself for your a local trip. You'll be able to be out the door and prepare the stats, but before some of the others have maybe even had their final whistle blown. Phil Annetts at FA Vars Fact File. Thanks for joining us on the Non-League Football Show, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
Cheers, Tim. Real pleasure. Thanks.
So let's stick with the FA Vars in, and a club with great pedigree both in this competition and beyond, but with a tough away tie ahead of them. Hillingdon Borough of the combined counties Division 1 travel to Ardley Town's ground on Sunday to face Baldock Town of the Spartan League Premier Division. So tell us how preparations are going then. Let's chat to manager at Hillingdon Borough, Anthony Obeng Manu. Welcome, Anthony, to the Non-League Football Show.
Hi, Tim. Thanks a lot.
Underdogs going into this game against a higher level opposition, is that going to suit your boys?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we were underdogs in the last game as well when we went in, and it's for us, like, it's just a case of just getting out and playing, really. You know, we have a particular style of play and way we play. We won't change that, and it's a weird one, because if you look at the Bulldog, you know, again, very, very good side. And they're just starting to find their way this season. They've had a tough start to the season. So I think it's, you know, all in all, I think both teams are married up pretty well.
Yeah, and already a great story to get to this stage. In the first qualifying round, you had an emphatic, 5-1 away win at Urchester United up in near Northampton. Last round, though, the second qualifying round, that was one to keep the blood pressure bubbling, wasn't it? When you're at home to Buckbrook St Michael of the United Counties League. You needed a 93rd-minute goal to level it up, and then you go on and win 4-3 on penalties. Straight out of the manager's playbook, that one, was it?
That was the equaliser, actually. It was just a long punt upfield. That was nothing left. That was the best Hail Mary you'll ever see football-wise. I think that was we found that game tough because Buckbrook they're obviously the step above, but what they do is they consistently do the right thing. And for us, it was a case of actually finding a way to break it down. And believe it or not, the best way to break it down was the punt upfield. Not something we like doing, but sometimes it works. And I think by that stage, 93rd minute, I think when you go into penalties after sort of coming back at that stage in the tie, I think there's only really going to be one team who goes on to win it. And luckily for us, it was us. So
tell us about the side that you've got there. Have you got a blend of youth and experience, or is it a very young side that you're just trying to teach the basics of football, the psychology more than anything for games like this?
It's a very young side. I think the average age of the side is about 23 or 24. We had a couple of older lads in, older, more experienced lads, but with a sort of tough start to the season games-wise, I think injuries caught up with them and stuff like that, and some of them are just away at the moment. So, we go into this game with a very young team. But it's one of those that they're all footballers. They can all do what we wanted to do. But it is, I call it sort of, some of them lack the mental toughness at times, and that's what you're trying to give them, isn't it? You know, if mental toughness was a given right, then you know every player who was technically able at the age of 15, 16 would go on to play at a very high level.
It's interesting what you say about availability of players, though, because obviously we talk to managers, chairmen, the secretaries, whatever, week in, week out. We talk to people at your level, below, but also at the step one, step two of the non-league game. And they've got a very different, different factors affecting their management, really, isn't it? This is your first shot at being a manager in a senior game. You've been part of the Chalfont St Peter coaching side before, and a lot of experience at youth level. Is there anything in management? Is that you didn't realise you were letting yourself in for to go into senior non-league management for?
It's a weird one because I'd like to say, you know, there wasn't. But when you come from the youth game, you almost expect players, obviously players are not getting there unless their parents are getting them there. So when you make that initial step, you still have that reticence about you in terms of actually, will they get there? Can they get there? So you almost still run through the same steps to make sure that the players are there. Dare I say it, in 2 or 3 years' time, you might take that for granted, or I might take it for granted and just assume that the player's going to get there. I mean, but you know, interestingly enough, actually speaking about that, the Urchester game in the Vars, our first game, we played that without our number one keeper. He was injured and breakdown in communication. It was a game on a Sunday and he didn't get there. So we ended up with our centre back in goal, which was a weird one, but we still come away with a 5-1 victory.
And that travelling to games you mentioned about, you know, from the youth game and organising that. I mentioned that early on you're in the combined counties now, the first season there. You know, all the restructuring was done to minimise the trouble, the travel, and make it easier for clubs to afford to get to games. The club was in the Spartan League before. That was the aim of the restructuring. But I guess you're in a sort of a London grouping, which doesn't necessarily mean that travel's easier if you've got to go through traffic or anything like that. Has the change in the league, has that helped you moving into the combined counties?
Yeah, it has, especially I think when you have a younger squad, not all of them are going to drive. So if you're still within that London area, so to speak, it means that getting there via public transport makes it easier for a lot of the other lads, or in terms of getting to meet somewhere to car share and stuff like that. I think we played one game last season when we first came in that Spartans, and that was away at Stockport, and that was a journey and a half to get there. So, the combined counties and the restructuring, that's helped us most definitely.
Yeah, I spoke about prize money, or rather the lack of it, earlier on with our FA Vars Fact File guest, Phil Annette. So, of course, there's prestige in the competition, and games like this are always great to play in and be involved in. But there's £250 in the loser's prize money pot for this round. I guess that probably wouldn't even cover the cost of the fuel in the cars for the squads for a game like this.
No, probably not. Shall I be honest with you, Tim? It's not really something I try and think about. It's one of those. I always try and operate within my boundaries, and I'm not the chairwoman. So you know, liability for costs and stuff like that doesn't lie with me. So for me to try and get involved in that means I'm taking a percentage away from what I should be doing as a manager. And I know that might sound really, really selfish. But I'm there to manage, and
you're there to manage. It would be nice to be able to play in a prestigious competition where the clubs didn't have to subsidise the competition. I'm not sure.
100%, yeah.
It just seems that, yeah, we do herald how wonderful the FA Vars, and it's a fantastic competition. Over 600 clubs participate. You've got 210 taking part this weekend. I appreciate there's lots of clubs that you've got to share some money around on, but as you say, when you've got difficulties where you're even trying to get a squad together and get them to the game, an additional headache for the club, whether that's you or your chair lady, as you spoke about, it's just one more of those complications that running a non-league club brings about week in, week out.
Yeah, oh, definitely. I mean, if you look at it that way, I mean, it would be good to go, actually, well, this is the prize money, but we also have a travel fund as well. Because I'm sure if the powers that be worked hard enough, they would be able to structure it so that there was a travel fund for each club that were playing away. And you'd go, okay, you're drawing down from this is what you draw down from. Again, that takes something away from actually what you need to think about, doesn't it, in terms of actually, where do I get the money from? Because it's a case of, well, like you said, I guess we could go out and lose, and your travel fund is, is your 250 losers money, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and well, if you win, it's about £800, and I'm not sure that's going to necessarily help with the lights if you're the home side, or even cover all the costs. But I mean, that's a debate I think that needs to be had. Now, I mentioned in the opening of the club's history, I don't expect you to remember, but I do because we reported on it back then in this show. Hillingdon Borough reached the FA Vars final in 2006. And it was really one of those examples of how a Vars run can ignite a club and all around it. I remember the sense of excitement all around the local area. Is there already a sense of excitement in and around the club, around the players and that with this current Vars run? Because you've done well to get to this stage already.
Yeah, I mean, the players are absolutely buzzing for it. Because, effectively, what we've got is taken a set of players who, you know, ordinarily may not have played at this level or would have played at this level, but been players who've got games here or minutes here, minutes there. And, you know, we've given them a sense, I hate to say sense of belief, but we've given them a set of boundaries that they want to continuously extend beyond. And yeah, there's definitely an excitement there. It's a weird one because Hillingdon is, I wouldn't say it's laid dormant, but because there's been a lack of movement. I mean, what I would say, I mean, obviously the Vars file dictates that, you know, that we haven't gone part beyond this round in 16 years. But whilst we haven't gone beyond this round in 16 years, clubs that are local to us, your Harefields, your Uxbridge, your Wheelstones, they've all pushed on and pushed on and pushed on. So some of our fan base has gone that way. And some of our fan base has then moved away from the area as well. So we've definitely lost fans, and it's a good way for us to try and get fans back and let people remember that we still exist.
Yeah, it's always good to bring in some of the old faces. And as you mentioned, you know, Wildstone in the National League now, and they're really a walk away from you, really. A brisk walk on a Saturday afternoon, and people can go and watch a higher level. But they don't get the magic of the FA Vars. And what I think is great about the FA Vars is that each and every one of the 600 clubs plus that are entered in could probably be described, you know, as a sleeping giant, in a way. Everybody's hoping for that perfect storm of some extra cash, maybe the right team on and off the field, and a little bit of luck as well. That always helps. And I'm guessing if you and the hundreds of other managers didn't believe that that was possible, you wouldn't be committing your life to it and every hour, a spare hour of the week, and probably some other hours that you're supposed to be working, doing this job as a manager at non-league.
No, 100%. And yeah, the Vars for us and for me and for my coach and staff, the Vars is big. Just because, as you described it, it's just a game, isn't it? You play one game and you win, you're through to the next round. You play another game, you're through to the next round. And over 90 minutes, anyone can beat anyone, you know. And that's the magic of it, isn't it? And you go with that. So, you know, the prize fund is, you don't even think about it. All you want is that run. You want that run. You want to keep going and going and going and going.
Yeah, so what's the priority then this season? You know, Saturday, obviously, the priority is going to be... Sunday's going to be your priority in the FA Vars, but is it to go as far as you can in the Vars? Is it try and seek promotion from the combined counties up into that Premier Division?
Yeah, it's a weird one. At the beginning of the season, it was to try and seek promotion, and that hasn't changed. Promotion ones are weird ones, aren't they? Because I tend to think that, and you know, experience dictates and has told you that most managers or most squads that go on and get promotion, they're usually 2 years in the same division, aren't they? So the first year, and they almost get there, but don't get there. But by the time the second season comes around, they've got the right level of players, so they're almost getting midway through the season with players who are good enough to play that higher step already. So for us, it is that. And I think the combined Div 1 that we're in, it's a strange one because most teams are beating each other. There's a couple who are quite standout at the moment, but the rest, everyone's beating everyone. We're coming up against teams who are unbeaten, and they're walking away with a point and being lucky to walk over a point. But then that goes back to what we talk about in terms of actually the mental toughness of the players, whereby you're in a position where you're winning and you should win, and you don't, you know. And but that's all a learning experience. When you're young, it's all one that comes, and that's up to us to help them along with that journey.
And I think that's where the FA Vars is great as well, because already you've played clubs from two other leagues as well in this competition. Now, have you noticed any obvious differences between, you know, maybe the way teams set themselves up or the type of players that they have across the different leagues?
Yeah, I tell you, do you know what, in the combine counts, teams will get the ball down and play, and I think nature of the location of the combine count is you get different types of players. So the players you get are primarily London type players or London based players. So they're players who want to get on the ball. They're players who want to move the ball. We go away to other areas and you tend to find that they're not that type of player. They might have three or four of those players or two or three of those players, but then the rest is supported by players who dare I say, go and do their job. They do their job effectively, of course. But then they hit right areas with the ball and stuff like that. And I think that's why the combine counties, it's been so open, because there are so many players who are comfortable on the ball, and so many players who, dare I say, I hate the word techie, but so many players who people describe as techie, that everyone keeps beating everyone. You've got players, you know, you come across a team and you'll go, well, you know, four or five of those players could come and play in my team. And it's the same for most of the managers I've spoken to as well. Whereas some of the teams we played in the Vars, they're, what's the easiest way to describe it? They're efficient teams. Mm-hmm. And efficiency, dare I say, it does win your games a lot of the time. So
yeah, the magic of non-league has not changed over the years. When we've been talking about different types of players in different parts of the country, and it just all comes together in the national competitions like this, the FA Vars. Anthony, I let you go. I wish you well at the weekend, and also for the rest of the season, and hopefully we'll speak to you again very soon.
Thanks a lot, Tim. Thank you.
So, rounding off this week's news, it's time to head on over to Non-League Paper Towers again. Welcome back to the Non-League Football Show. Senior writer there, David Richardson. Welcome back, David.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for having me on. Hope you're well.
Well, yeah, there's a limited selection that we could choose from, but we wouldn't want to choose anybody other than your good self. I have to say that, you know, you embarrass me sometimes with your knowledge of non-league, and I think, oh, maybe I need to go and practice a little bit more and learn a little bit more, because you are our expert. I do love people that understand non-league football. And while we're on that, what about these FA Cup first round matches chosen for broadcast? Six live broadcast games announced for the first round. There are five, I think, of those containing non-league clubs. Not surprisingly, they're kicking off with what I'd see something, certainly a local derby, probably the tie, maybe the potential for giant killing and a massive story on the Friday, 5th of November. AFC Sudbury against Colchester United is going to be on BBC Two.
Yeah, really good one to start the first round weekend. As you know, I'm a fan really sort of the way they spread those games across the weekend, and you know, really sort of maximise the non-league coverage really. And usually it's sort of the tie of the round on that Friday night or thereabouts. You know, that's always up for debate. But yeah, certainly a good one to start with. AFC Sudbury against Colchester. You know, I don't think it'll be one I'll be going to, but I think that Edison Matt Badcock is sort of over his area, so I'm sure he'll be planning on getting down to that one. But yeah, probably a little bit jealous, but definitely one I'll be tuning in for on that Friday night.
Yeah, and then the game chosen for the Saturday evening is a 5:15 kickoff on ITV4. I think there'll be many people in clubhouses up and down the land, hopefully tuning in on this one. Banbury United against Barrow. Yeah, we both know we're many people at both of those clubs, and although Barrow have flown the nest, it's certainly a game that many people in non-league will be excited about.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it sort of feels like I've been speaking to Andy Wings sort of almost every week in the last few weeks, because did a piece with him about how well they were going in the league. And then, of course, they went and beat Bath last weekend in the Cup to get into the first round again. Now they've got a Barrow, really, really good home tie for them. I spoke to him earlier this week, and he was sort of saying how last year when they got to the first round, it was, you know, being played behind closed doors. They were limited to, I think, 600 in the fourth round qualifying. And it sort of all dampened it, really, for them. And that was sort of history, them getting to the first round last year, having not done it for so long. But it all kind of petered out a little bit. And, they went out to Canvey Island, who are obviously a step below them as well. And it's sort of the FA Cup sort of dream very quickly sort of turned into a bit of a nightmare, really. But, this year, it's sort of funny how football works very quickly. They're back in the first round again, this time at home again and in front of fans. Had a great crowd of over 1,500 last weekend. They'll have even more for that Barrow game. And obviously in front of the TV cameras as well. It'll be a really good occasion for them. And still unbeaten as well. 16 games unbeaten in all competitions so far this season. Another really good win on Tuesday, when so often you see it, it's sort of the come down after a good Cup win. But they beat Leicester 3-2. So, yeah, going really well at the moment. They'll just be wanting to keep that momentum going into that Barrow game to give them the best of chances.
Yeah, and those of us of a certain vintage remember, FA Cup games on a Saturday evening, having the draw to go into after playing in those FA Cup games. Obviously, we've got the draw take place on Monday, as is the par nowadays. But it's nice that there will be some FA Cup football for anybody that's a fan of football to watch on that Saturday evening.
Yeah, absolutely. It's sort of a good time, probably, really, for football to be on. Obviously, free to air as well. So that always draws a sort of big audience. On ITV as well, who now have the rights. That's sort of changed, doesn't it, from recent years. So I suppose that's different too, and a new dynamic to it. But yeah, always good that first round weekend in terms of the broadcast schedule, and there'll be other games I'm sure that have an element of TV about them, because often there's sort of the live score programme too. So yeah, there'll be more cameras at non-league grounds, I'm sure, that weekend as well.
Yeah, there'll be I'm sure that there'll be the usual highlights on the Saturday match of the day, I guess, and as you say, the Sunday peril at the afternoon live games across a final score type program on the Sunday as well. There are three live games: one on ITV, which is an all league tie, Sheffield Wednesday against Plymouth Argyle, and Stratford Town against Shrewsbury Town. That's going to be on ITV 4, a 3 o'clock kickoff on that Sunday, which is again another local derby, and I can see the appeal for that one. And I know people in Stratford are already preparing themselves for quite possibly the biggest game in their history.
Yeah, they had a really good win over Boston in midweek. Not easy, really, to when it goes to a replay, to then come out of that the other side, particularly off against a Boston team that's sort of one of the more fancied clubs in that National League North Division. Really good result for them, and a really good draw, obviously, as well at home to Shrewsbury League One side. Pretty sort of obvious pick that for TV. And equally, St Albans against Forest Green, I think, later that day. I think probably the ones who sort of didn't quite make it, your team, Aidan Yedding against Sutton, that could have quite easily been in there. Bowers and Pitsy going up to Lincoln. I think the TV companies tend to favour going to a non-league ground, where perhaps it's more likely for an upset to be there. But, that was probably a tough one to overlook. And, equally, Bolton against Stockport, which is like a really sort of big game, really big cup tie, and it certainly has that feel about it. But it's sort of, we're often sort of spoilt for choice, really, in this first round.
Yeah, we are, and I think we are spoiled in a way as well, because as you mentioned there, we got six live broadcast games on terrestrial TV now.
I can't. Has that ever happened before? It probably not because you're terrestrial now getting some coverage as well. That Monday night game where the draw will take place before it as well. You've got Dagenham and Redbridge who are having a fairly decent start in the National League, hosting Salford City as well. There'll be plenty of interest in that game, I'm sure. And all I hope is that the non-league clubs are able to show the appeal of the non-league game. And sometimes when you do get TV coverage, it sterilises it a little bit. But there is an extra bit of magic that you get a non-league game over the professional clubs, which is why we're still here.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure they will. Really, the FA Cup is what it is, really, because of the involvement of non-league clubs, and we've certainly seen it over recent years when TV cameras have been at grounds that they certainly sort of deliver the entertainment, really, and probably deliver what's sort of required of them in some ways. Really looking forward to that. And like you say, with it being on terrestrial TV, I always think that's sort of massive for any sport, really. Being able to have it on those channels where everyone can watch it, I just think that's massive. And that'll be really good for the non-league game people seeing that.
Yeah, and I think there's so many other ties, as you mentioned, that could have been chosen. One of which is probably Chesterfield South End, and South End made a big appointment this week with Kevin Mayer returning to the club with two very knowledgeable non-league managers. These are managers that have been associated with various vacancies up and down certainly the southeast. Darren Curry, former Barnet manager, Mark Bentley, who has been so successful recently at Canvey Island, and Bentley and Mayer, former colleagues in the South End side during the Football League days. And I think we spoke last week about the need for to embrace non-league, and I mean, with this appointment, they've certainly done that, haven't they?
Yeah, I think so. It certainly seems to have gone down well with Southend supporters who as we know, with sort of their, with obviously the way they started the season and, being relegated last year as well. And even before that, they certainly haven't had much to cheer about, and it was all pretty toxic at the club. But, hopefully now this is sort of a new era. Obviously, former player Stan Collymore has sort of led the recruitment process, and it's probably sort of important to know how sort of Kevin Mayer's come in as the first team head coach, is sort of a pretty modern term now in football, or I suppose common term now in football. Stan Collymore was sort of talking about the need to, move forward in a sort of more modern, I suppose, direction. And as sort of head coach, you can sort of solely focus on what happens just on the pitch. And I think if there were sort of any concerns over sort of Kevin Mayer's non-league sort of managerial experience, then I think probably Darren Curry as assistant head coach and like you said, Mark Bentley as first team coach, then that probably puts that to rest, really, with like you say, what they've been doing in non-league recently. An interesting sort of new era, I suppose, for Southend on the pitch. I think what is clear is that whilst this does look like sort of a long-term structure, obviously, I just think they can't afford to be relegated this season. They need to really sort of hit the ground running and start getting results. But there is still plenty of time, this season. They've made the change after 10 league games. So, from what happens now, I think, certainly they'll have enough time to either keep the team in the division or not, or who knows, maybe even get them out of the division the other way. We saw it last season with Chesterfield and James Rowe coming in, and they ended up in the playoffs. So it's not impossible. I think this is probably what sort of Southend need now, sort of a fresh outlook and beginning, really, on the football side of things.
Yeah, and Mark Bentley heading off, of course, leaving a vacancy at step four at Canvey Island. One of those rarities for an out-of-work manager, a chance to come into a club doing so well that are top of their league.
Yeah, an interesting one. Obviously, I'm sure for Mark Bentley it was kind of difficult, really, sort of leaving Canvey Island in that position. And, you know, as I said earlier, obviously, you know, did really well in the FA Cup last year, getting to the second round. I think they had Boreham Wood in a televised game down there, which was obviously massive for them. So I imagine it was sort of difficult making that decision to leave. But obviously, you know, going into Southend, a professional club where you're working day to day, and obviously in the National League as well, three leagues higher, with your old teammate in Kevin Maher, you know, it's as you probably said himself, just sort of too good to turn down, really. But like you say, obviously an opportunity for someone to go into Canvey Island, and you know, I'm sure there'll be a lot of people going after that job, particularly with where they are in the division. So yeah, sort of a slightly different one. You sort of don't really see that too often, but yeah, we'll see what happens with them going forward.
Yeah, and you mentioned about the new way that clubs appoint their coaching staff and that across non-league now. Elsewhere at Stourbridge, they've also filled their managerial vacancy this week and gone down the joint manager road with Stuart Pearpoint and Leon Broadhurst linking to lead the side. Again, though, also two ex-players where, you know, there is something. Sometimes it works. Majority of the time, I think it does work, but sometimes it doesn't work. I suppose at a higher level, you look at Steve Bruce's outcome this week, where it hasn't maybe particularly worked. He has, for his love for a club that doesn't always shine through. But I do think non-league management is such a hectic, difficult job that the joint manager route or the many head coaches and team has got to be the way forward for non-league clubs.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. It's obviously sort of something we're seeing a little bit, you know, like you say, more often now. You know, we've sort of referenced the joint managers in the past on the show, you know, the likes of Anthony Johnson and Bernard Morley, and obviously the Cowleys have moved through the leagues. So yeah, an interesting one for Stourbridge. And like you say, I guess there is maybe, you know, four hands better than two at sometimes, is there? You know, in non-league management, I don't know, but you know, you'd like to think it certainly does help on that side of things. You know, there's the pair at Binfield as well, who, you know, got to the FA Vars final last year. So yeah, an interesting one, and we'll see how they go. But yeah, it's just sort of not really been happening for Stourbridge this season. Yeah, certainly didn't sort of expect you know, Mark Yates for it not to work out there. But yeah, we'll see how they get on now in this this sort of new era and new structure of joint managers.
Yeah, plenty of action this week. We've elsewhere in the show, we've spoken about 210 ties in the FA Vars. I'm sure there'll be coverage in the paper. Plenty of action this weekend, and a big game, I think, in the National League at Chesterfield hosting Boreham Woods, and it's still very tight up the top of the National League.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's the big game of the National League weekend, really. Chesterfield, Boreham Wood. Obviously, interesting one for Dagenham against Southend. Of course, Kevin Maher's first game and first game of his new management team there. Maidenhead against Woking's the BT Sport game, and there's also Notts County against Stockport as well, which is you know, really, really big game for obvious reasons. So, yeah, another interesting weekend, I'm sure, coming up in the National League. And just as we sort of tick over now, over the 10-game mark, you know, things start to even out a little bit, and you start to take a little bit more of a note of what the league table's looking like. So, yeah, another important weekend in the National League coming up.
Yeah, and so another important weekend for the non-league paper. Anything else we can expect to read about in this weekend's issue?
Yeah, we've sort of gone a bit FA Cup crazy, really, after the first round of the draw. As I said, I was waiting to Banbury again, also Horsham, who'll be having a mammoth trip to Carlisle in the first round. But yeah, and loads of reaction to that FA Cup draw. Yeah, I've seen bits with Southend and their new manager, and yeah, plenty of match action too from the weekend. FA Vars back again for another round. So yeah, loads in there on Saturday.
Yeah, and from one a non-league fan to another, if anybody's thinking of going to the games this weekend, I've seen that there's some rain predicted. I'd get a very waterproof coat. In recent weeks, the coats have taken a bit of a battering if you're standing out in the rain. If there's any waterproof coats want to sponsor the show, I'm sure you know we'll have discussions. But David, I'm sure you'll be sat somewhere behind a bench reporting on a game. Are you off anywhere this week?
Well, no, actually in the office this weekend. Yeah, sort of an early look at the weather forecast. So made that decision early on in the week as the colder weather sort of arrived. It was quite cold this sort of morning. I thought, oh yeah, maybe I won't fancy that on the Saturday. But in the office, trying to pull everything together for Sunday morning. So as always, people can brave the weather this weekend and get down to their local club and then get out on Sunday morning for a non-league paper. That would be great.
But make sure you've got something dry to wear on a Sunday to go out and pick your paper up. But David, thanks for joining us on the Non-League Football Show. We'll speak to you again soon.
Thanks very much, Tim.
That's it then for this week. Thank you to all of my guests, as ever, and for everybody for listening. Don't forget to tell your friends, share it wherever you can. Thanks also for the great feedback on the article in last week's non-league paper about volunteering. And hopefully we'll have some more volunteers talking about their roles within clubs. Just to try and show people that it's more than... It's more than just, I'm constantly asking for stewards. I'm constantly asking, people to help tidy up and things like that. There's so many roles within a football club that you never know where that may lead you, either within football or beyond. It's some great work experience to be picked up, and also some great knowledge to be picked up by clubs from your good selves as volunteers. Don't forget, you can follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show, myself there at Tim Fuel, FUELL. And as ever, you can find us every week on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, also on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, iHeart, Geo7, Listen Notes, Overcast, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Radio Republic, via your smart speakers, and all good podcast aggregation sites. Stay safe, enjoy your football, thank you, and goodbye.
J-I-B-B-A-J-A-B-B-A. Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.